Hello to everyone. Peace and blessings be upon you. I'm with you today, dear economic activists and friends. I hope that wherever you are around the world, you are doing fine. These days, we are all cooperating. In the previous podcasts, we talked about how to achieve our ideal income. We introduced a number of activities as well. The purpose of this podcast is for you to come to us one by one and make a point. Every file that we publish, especially these podcasts, which are audio files, has a key point in it. This is the secret of hard work and professional success. I hope that these files will not be heard in the form of a radio, but rather with a lot of concentration, spend an hour or two a day to learn and perform successful techniques to perform the secrets of sales. These secrets are secrets that we have performed many times. In fact, our secret of success is in these secrets. This has not been a miracle. If each and every one of you has these secrets, you will definitely succeed in your business. In this podcast, we want to talk about why people buy. In the previous podcasts, we talked about money. We said that everyone has a job, a skill, and it is based on this that they make money. So they collect money, which we call this an entry. Think of a piggy bank for yourself. Think of a cash app. Think of a bank card. This card, this account of yours, has two parts. The entry part and the second part is your expenses. So you collect money. The money that you collect will be reimbursed. So you have to spend all of it. No one wants to have an entry from day one to the end of their life. No, you have an entry and an expense. You collect the money and spend it. This is why we say we collect the money and spend. Now the question is, why do people spend? We say because they want to spend. Now, why do you want to spend? It is for the same reason. The question is, why? It is very interesting, actually. When I understand these issues, my mind opens up and becomes more active. Now I understand why I have to collect money. Please pay attention. If I ask you, why do you spend more money? You all say, you have some needs. We have some needs and we have to use our money to meet them. I say, well done. In the past, when there was no money, what did people do to meet their needs? Did they not need anything? I say no. There has always been a need. Now there are different needs, different demands, and the generation have changed. But from the past to the present, there has always been a need for a series of things. A need for food, a need for clothing, a need for medical care, a need for education, a need for housing. All of these were parts of the needs, right? These are the initial needs, and technology comes along afterwards. And a lot of these needs, for example, for the industry, take on a new form. And the needs actually diversify, whereas today, the internet is a need. 100 or 200 years ago, there was no internet. There was no need at all. Now, it is enough that in our country or in other countries, 1 week of internet is enough. Everyone gets angry. You know, once that 1 week the internet goes away, it goes off, everyone gets angry because they lose something very important. Their basic need is lost. So we understand that technology has led to the emergence of new needs. This is a very important point. If you look at the new needs, you will see that there is a need to be in contact with someone from different parts of the world. And there is still this need remaining today. If someone is sent to prison, for example, they say, no, don't be in contact with anyone. Be alone. Because being alone is very difficult and a person cannot even be alone. This is a very important point. I don't want to get out of the main topic, actually, but I always tell everyone and explain to them how it really is that none of us have our own courage. We have to be in contact with someone all the time. And the more beautiful and better we can be in contact,
more beautiful a world we can create. First, this is a big mistake. The world is moving in a direction where we don't have our own courage, where when we alone, we want to think for an hour, it will be very difficult for us. We can't even focus for 10 minutes and think about our future and life. We have to have a TV on, we have to have music, we have to have something that makes some noise so that we can live our lives. If we don't, we have to go to the streets and see something. We have to see a scene, a case. We can sit and think in peace and quiet. This is because of the unselfish needs that a person has created in himself. But let's get down to the business. So I realized that when people buy something, they need something in return. Let me give you some examples. I also want to give you some, you know, unselfish needs. For example, until yesterday, you never made your own, let's say, specific recipe of food, right? But whenever you want to make it, all right, you see a mess. So leave it, then you order the food from outside, from a restaurant. Suddenly, you see some advertisements on TV that tells you, for example, this kitchen tool can make the process of making this recipe easier for you. So you will be actually amazed. You will be shaken and you would like to get that. You know, you just have to put that, you just have to order that because you really think you need it. Then you buy this device, you buy this tool, you use it once, you use it twice, then you see, okay, it's a bit hard to wash, it's a bit hard to organize, the food items will get stuck in it, and then when you want to wash it, you will think to yourself that, okay, how many times a month do you want to make this recipe? Okay, whenever I want to do it, I can easily order it from our side. So this is a momentary need that this advertise has actually brought to you. This advertisement has made you understand that you need this tool so that you purchased it. So advertisers try to identify their needs, and we have understood from a certain point that people are ready to pay for their needs. And we have talked about this before, that money is in people's hand. Now I have a question. How do people understand what they need? Have they been taught that they need a tool, they need a machine? In the past, there were no furniture, for example. If you go back in time, you will see that the furniture makers did not exist by then. There was a back and people would sit on like floors and they were fine with it. They were comfortable with it. Then the industry progressed a bit. And there were fewer furnitures, right? For example, the basic forms of furnitures. Has anyone taught them that you need this? That you need this thing and you have to buy it? As we see, we have not seen any kind of teaching about the needs. It's a kind of personalization. For example, I need food. I'm hungry and I feel that I'm hungry. Or for example, I need a shelter, a house. This need is a feeling. I need to learn something. Once it is felt, it is personal. And based on the initial needs, the manufacturer, they start to produce various products. One produces a broom, another a toothbrush, another a toothpick, another a shampoo, another soap, another a hand lotion, and so on. And you see that the world is producing all these products. Why? Because the manufacturer has research. And they understood people need these things. And someone who has a special need, if they can actually identify their needs, they can produce and they can sell more. So if you can focus on the need of people, all right, and no one can meet that need, you will be the first one, you produce it and you can earn money. For example, the companies that produce their own products in our country, or the companies that produce SIM cards and provide internet services. No one can do such a thing. So, they produce it, all right, they provide it, and it meets the people's demand. You know, only a few people nowadays use these patterns that are no longer used for paper and printing, for writing. So you see that there are many types of new needs, and people have not seen any kind of education. Just based on the advertisements of the media, the billboards and so on, which we see them, people have realized that they really need these products. For example, they need a pen. They need to take a picture, so they need a photo frame. They need to put the paper. They actually need a box. So all of these, they become people's needs and demands because people feel and people understand, and then the manufacturer produces. So many of these demands have not been taught to anyone. Just the manufacturers have thought about it, and they have come to the conclusion that people need this. Where did this come from? First of all, the manufacturers, they pay attention to themselves as human beings. They say, okay, we need this, so others, they also do need this. Do the other people? Yes. And after a few investigations, they reach to the point of production. There are individuals, and they start this production. Alright, and there are other groups that they fail in their businesses because they do not pay good enough attention to what they need themselves. You know, instead of this, instead of finding the demand, they just look for quality and value. And they think that if there is a product with good quality, people will buy it. If there is a product with low value, people will buy it. However, this is not the case. There's no standard of quality or value. These people make mistakes in their negotiations as well. For example, when they want to sell a product to the customer, they start explaining the quality and the value of the product. They don't pay attention to the demand at all. This is the first step. Individuals should know whether they need this product or not. They should know how much is it worth to spend on it, and how much is it worth to spend on it in order to solve and in order to meet a demand. Many people, they do not pay attention to this. So you should know that in order to sell and earn money, you should know the customer's need, then talk to them about the product. Once again, we have a question here. What makes a customer buy your product? What makes your customer to, for example, buy your clothing items? The answer is the need, the demand. The answer is not the price or the quality. Be aware. Now I know that the need solves everything. The second question you should ask yourself is that, what does your product need from the customer? I mean, what demand does your product solve from this customer? You know, what does he need, like, in order to buy the product? When we talk about this, you start explaining your clothing items. For example, they are of big quality, they have a great pricing. This is a big mistake. You know, those people, those groups that they supply the raw materials, for example, they supply flour, or they supply animal skin, or they supply seeds. They supply wheat, yeast, sugar, and so on. Why does this person supply flour? To whom? For an employee who wants to produce a cake, a cookie, or bread? Or the manufacturer? You should look and realize what groups and people are your target audiences. For example, you supply raw materials, who is your customer? These groups are the target audiences, and when you announce that you supply raw materials, for example, the producer of some products will be your target audience. Now you should understand, what is my target audience? Who is this group? Who is this person? Some companies, some products, some representatives, brand representatives, sometimes you may say wholesalers, you may say retailers. That's depending on your business. So You know, we're giving actually these explanations so that you will understand the group that you're selling to. Sometimes you sell to a wholesaler, sometimes you sell to a manufacturer, and sometimes you are selling directly to the customers or to the consumers of these products. Consumers are actually multiple groups. So they will be divided into many multiple groups. For example, a group that is supposed to actually distribute to other groups of consumers, to other people, or the final user, the final consumer of these products. Let's make an example, all right? For example, let's say there is a customer, a target audience for cake, right? If this person is a consumer, they buy a cake, what happens? They buy a cake, for example, for $1. Then what happens? They eat it, right? But another version is that you sell this cake to actually a supplier, a wholesaler. Then what happens? They also do business with it. So they spend some money and they again do the business and they earn a profit out of it. But what happened to the first person? He just ate it. So for the first person, you're meeting a demand, which was this person was hungry and he needed to eat cake. But for the second person, you are doing the business with them. So actually the point is, who taught this person to buy a cake and eat it to meet their demand, right? Who taught this person that if you buy this cake, you will feel better? No one. This is the main point. This was a feeling and this happened. This was a feeling that if I buy a cake, I will be feeling full. So that's a good feeling and I will be satisfied. So we're going to talk about these demands that they have not been taught to anyone. This is the basis. All right, this is the basis of people's and their demand. Everyone sees a need in something and they are ready to pay for it. Someone goes to buy furniture. They feel that if they buy this furniture, the quality of their life will increase. So they are ready to pay millions of dollars on this as well. You got it now? This is very important. So I want to go back and let's repeat this point. So people, they have some emotional and some logical demands. And whenever they feel these demands, this is good because they start buying. But why do other groups buy? For example, the flour that a manufacturer buys. Buying has a price. So I buy flour, for example, a kilogram of that. It costs me a certain amount, right? Then all the materials, all the raw materials, all the machineries, electricity, energy, gas, and everything, I pay for all of this. And I spend a certain amount of money on this. Then I start the production and I get more than I spend. The difference will be in my income. So they say, okay, I have spent this much in my job and I have created something. And now I am earning out of it. So these are different groups. So where did this money actually go to? For one group, they spend the money in order to solve a need and increase the life quality. For another group, you're doing business with it. So the demands are also different. For example, I am a carpenter and I have a job and I earn money. So this is my income. Now I spend this income and I buy a cake. It costs me something, right? It costs me something and it solves a certain demand. So, but for the factory owners, for the production lines, meeting the demands will cost them something, but they also get something out of it. So they basically give this money they spend to their own job and business. This job created a path for the owner to make a living. So the only group that spends money and doesn't make a living, they are the consumers. There are 80 million consumers only in our country. So you can actually imagine that there will be 8 billion consumers in the world. It will actually increase day by day as well. So the more people of the society, more people around the world can work, sell to these customers and earn money. The point is, in some bigger cities, because there are more people, there is a more huge population, so you can earn more money as well because there are more consumers. So now, if you want to actually compare domestic business inside your own country or import and export business, which is international, we would say that you have to understand where it is more profitable for yourself. In terms of all these people, for example, who produce clothes in order to reach to the hands of the consumers, which we call it a chain. But you have to also understand the demand of your products and be aware of it. So we have reached the point that where people, they feel the demand, they are ready to spend for it. For example, look at yourself, look at your house, look at your refrigerator, look at the furniture that you purchase. For example, look at the ceramics, look at the air conditioners, lamp. Do you have an iPhone? Do you have a washing machine? Do you have the furniture? Do you have carpets? Did you purchase everything you need? Do you have flowers? Do you have, let's say, edible items? I feel a need. And I go and I'm ready to spend on it. Back in the day, for example, fireplaces were necessary in 1986, 87. Every builder who wanted to build a house, they used to put these fireplaces in the house because it was necessary, it was a demand. But since 1990, no one wants to build a house with a fireplace. So, do we all have fireplaces in our houses? No. Because this demand is cancelled now, it has been omitted. So everything comes down to the demand. And I want to know, how much do I need something? And I want to give you an idea of how to sell based on the basic needs of the customers. That is to say, what needs you have, a person is willing to buy from you. So, I want to explain to a producer who is my target audience, okay? What do you need from me? What demand can I solve? So, why should you buy from me? Why my product is good for you? And what, which one of your demands I and my product we can solve for you? The producer is looking for example, let's say quality. The producer is looking for a cheaper pricing. That's what I talk about. So, a big mistake in negotiations is that you don't know what you are saying and if your audience is actually looking for that. You know, for example, which one is better? Which one is cheaper? You should understand what your audiences need, what your customers need. What do you need, for example? Money? Okay. If you understand that they care about the money, if you understand they care about a cheaper pricing, then you would offer that. And they actually buy from you and purchase from you more. Or for example, for another business, for another producer, what do they look for? They look for earning more money and expanding their business. So if you can solve that, and if you can meet that, because you are increasing their income, so they buy and purchase more and more from you. Let's say, if you buy a cake from me, your money will increase, right? Because if you buy a cake from me, then you can sell it with this price, so you also want to earn money, so I can meet your demand. But to a consumer, you would say, if you buy this cake from me, it is of high quality, it has an amazing taste. So they are different. So this is the first step. You need to know the needs that you are going to meet from your audiences. What are they looking for? Secondly, let's say if they are also looking for security, for comfort. That's also very important to most of the audiences, that they do not have to be worried or concerned, that by working with you, by buying your products, they're actually feeling secure and comforted. So, why are they actually looking for this comfort? Because people think that if they have actually a lot of capital and money, they feel safe, alright? Now you're asking them to spend their money and capital on something else. So you should actually comfort them that this will also meet their demand and still they can feel safe and secure. If you can do that, they will fall in love with you and your business and they will purchase from you back to back. But if you cannot do that, doesn't matter how much you talk, how much you offer to them, they don't even take a look at that. So you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful. You have to follow the trainings and actually increase this knowledge and these skills in negotiations. So another very important factor is about social status and credibility. You know, if an individual feels that his social status is improving and he becomes a more reliable person, he's ready to work with you. Do you even pay attention to this? You know, in many products, there's a discussion about credibility, being secure, which is very important. So you have to pay attention to this as well. My product sometimes has nothing to do with this. Well, you know, you should be looking at your audiences and how much they care about their own credibility in the business world. Another point is that if you can actually change your customer's perspective, again, you can attract this customer and he will become a fan of yours. People like this a lot. Actually, many people, they come and say, "You changed my life." For example, you know, if someone buys an earphone, are they going to talk to like seller and say, "You have changed my life"? No, because they don't go for this slogan. For example, if you purchase a product from the brand named Apple, are you going to tell them that Apple changed my life? No, and this brand is also not going for this slogan. They don't care about it, right? But the point is, if you actually do business and you sell to them your product, your brand name, your specification, competitive offers, this will help them to change their life. And it's very important to them. Now today, in our branding, we thank God many times, so many times, that a merchant, a trader, a representative comes to us. And for example, they talk to the senior managers and they say that you, your consultants, your actually mentors, or for example, your mentorship, your training courses, it changed my life. By listening to these trainings, it changed my life. My life has fully changed in a better way. And it put me in a better place where now I can actually to have a better life as well. That is, there's such a beautiful thing. Power, fame, these are all necessary for people. And they will love that when you can offer this to them. So do not only see your customers as customers who are just going to buy products. Try to create an impact on them. Now here, we actually thank everyone that they give us power, social status, success in workplace. It's important for everyone. So if you bring magic, this will be such a great secret to success. Now, I say this to so many people in Arad, all right, that you will become successful by fulfilling these actually needs. So keep this in mind. Keep these six factors in mind And hopefully from now on, you can start creating impact on your customers in order to make sure that you will work with them for an even longer cooperation.